Welcome to Upwards on WBCB. Each week we get together and take a look at some things helping to keep us healthy and protected from consumer-related scams. We'll be hearing from our fitness expert, Maureen Solomon, a little bit later on in the show. I want to ask Maureen about recovery times today. What is her thinking when it comes to different types of exercise, how long it takes for the body to recoup, to take advantage of all the hard work that you did, and get ready for another type of exercise routine or regimen? So we'll check in. Maureen Solomon, she puts together all the fitness programs for the Philadelphia Protestant Home and is a regular guest with us on Upwards. So looking forward to hearing from Maureen. And we have our St. Mary Medical Minute to get to in just a little bit. We've got Dr. Kristen Krupa with us today. And hopefully we'll be hearing from Mike Bannon. I did reach out to Mike. One of the things that he's trying to let people know about are skimming devices and how consumers can protect themselves from card skimming theft. It's a topic we've talked about before on the show. Mike joins us each week and we throw all different consumer-related stuff his way. And there's enough of it to have something new pretty much each week. A lot of it's related to online scams, emails coming your way. But as you use your plastic money, your ATM card, your credit card, whatever, you're skimming that device. You're kind of putting it through the reader, and those readers can be bogus and subject you to potential theft and somebody getting into your identity and stuff. So Mike talks quite a bit about that with us. So we'll hear about, hopefully from Mike, about skimming devices. The other thing that he often recommends, and I'll just throw this out there because it seems like pretty solid advice, that if you have any questions about your online safety when it comes to your identity, your credit, you can put a freeze on your credit score, on your credit history, basically, then you can't use some of that stuff, but no one else can get in there either. And anytime somebody tries to, they can't thaw the freeze once you put it in place. So freezing your personal ID and your credit score and history is something that's an option out there for people. And I guess especially if you're not using your credit card a lot, you're not accessing or trying to get new loans, that type of thing. There you need your credit to be all warmed up and ready to go. But if you're kind of sitting on the sidelines and you're worried about some of your online activity affecting your bank accounts, you can put this credit freeze out there. So hopefully we'll be hearing from Mike Bannon a little bit later on in the show. But again, once a week, we do our St. Mary Medical Minute thing. And today, we have Dr. Krupa with us. So wonderful to have you with us.
Yeah.
And great to get some help from our friends at St. Mary Medical Center with our St. Mary Medical Minute. We do it once a month on Upwards. And today we're talking with the wonderful Dr. Kristen Krupa, who joins us right now to talk a little bit about breast cancer risk. Dr. Krupa, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good and really appreciate your expertise to help navigate us through just a little bit of awareness. Can you take us through how you can start the discussion with your physician about breast cancer risk? I'm hoping at some point, like I've heard behavioral things may be connected to a higher risk for breast cancer, DNA or family history stuff connected to higher risk of breast cancer. I'm hoping you can give us a way. Is there a way to quantify or assess where you might stand as far as breast cancer risk is concerned?
Yes, there is. So there are a few different breast cancer risk models out there that a medical provider can do for you as the patient. So they recommend that per the American Society of Breast Surgeons, women should have a breast cancer risk assessment performed by a medical professional age 25. And this will help to determine the lifetime risk of developing breast cancer. And they can just use any of those risk models that are out there and then go over it with you. Those risk models, they have various components to them. So they're going to include your age, height and weight, breast density, if you've had any imaging to determine that, age at when you had your first period, age at first live birth, menopausal status, genetic testing results, breast biopsy results, if applicable, as well as family history of breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So it's really just a discussion with a medical provider who then is able to do the risk assessment for you. In general, I would say, of course, any oncologist, breast cancer surgeon can do the risk assessment, and then also most OBGYNs can also do a risk assessment.
Dr. Kristen Krupa with us, and one of her aims is to educate patients on their disease, finding an individualized treatment plan that fits them and their family, and she aims to help educate us today about breast cancer risk. Yes, Dr. Krupa, wondering what it means for a patient when they do recognize going through that process that they are at a higher risk for breast cancer.
So if your lifetime risk of breast cancer is greater than 20% on a risk assessment, or you have a certain genetic mutation or high-risk pathology from a breast biopsy, then you are considered to be at a high risk for a future breast cancer. You would then discuss with that medical provider what do they recommend. In general, we recommend to do extra screenings, meaning not just a mammogram once a year. For example, we typically will add in a breast MRI, an alternative breast MRI with a mammogram, this way every 6 months. If you're having some type of imaging, whether it's an MRI or a mammogram, you can also talk about genetic testing as well as pills that decrease your estrogen levels to lower your risk for a future breast cancer. And the whole point of doing these extra screenings and screening for who's high risk for breast cancer is because breast cancer is very treatable if it's found early. And breast cancer risk assessments can identify patients that are in elevated risk to develop breast cancer and possibly start breast cancer screening at an earlier age or have screening at a more frequent interval to identify breast cancer at an early and still treatable stage.
What are the general guidelines when it comes to imaging, to mammograms, and what you recommend to patients, whether they're at high risk or they don't score high on that assessment?
So what you're basically asking is for someone who's average risk
right.
for breast cancer, what should we do? Right now, we're recommending that starting at age 40, you should have a mammogram once a year. And then it's worth a discussion with your medical provider that based on your breast density, you might be a candidate for supplemental screening imaging in the form of something as a screening ultrasound as well.
How many patients fit into that high-risk category? Just kind of as a – can you give us a percentage on how many women are or people are high-risk?
So looking at studies, it looks like about 10 to 15% of women are high risk for breast cancer. And so that's why it is important to discuss this with a medical provider, because you might not know about that unless you have a risk assessment performed.
What is your thinking around some of the DNA, Ancestry.com and 23andMe and those types of commercial entities that are out there that also are talking a little bit about family history and connecting some of the services that they provide with recognizing potentially high-risk stuff in the health world?
So for those different companies that you talked about, some patients have brought it up to me because they've had testing through them. And the only thing I would say is that if you were found to have a genetic mutation with that company, I would repeat it with more so like a medical-grade genetic company, such as Ambry Genetics, Myriad, because they can be slightly different. Sometimes we've gotten different results from those companies, whether it means somebody had testing through 23andMe and they were normal, they didn't have any genetic mutations, and then we do a more so medical-grade genetic testing through, say, Myriad, Ambry, and they actually did come back to have a mutation to increase their risk for cancer. So I would just say with those other companies, which is a little bit of caution, because sometimes they don't test for what we would recommend, meaning they're not testing all the mutations, all of the genes, that kind of a thing.
I love to hear from all of our guests that join us on our St. Mary Medical Minute about what is next, what's on the horizon when it comes to helping patients. But right now, what more do we know than we knew even a few years ago when it comes to breast cancer risk and early detection?
So we know that early detection is really important. We are seeing breast cancer anecdotally in younger women. So I think doing the breast cancer risk assessment is really important. This way we can identify women who are even in their 30s who are high risk for breast cancer, and we can start screening before age 40. And then you did mention environmental factors. That is something that is being looked into, because why are we seeing younger women with breast cancer? We don't quite know that answer. I would think environmental factors play a role, and there are different studies looking into various things. But right now, what I tell my patients that you can do to lower your breast cancer risk, whether you're high risk or not, are three things. Those three things include all lowering your estrogen levels, and that's just because estrogen is the most common feed or fuel for the most common type of breast cancer. So the first thing is to exercise 130 to 150 minutes per week, which then goes to the second thing, which is to maintain an ideal body weight, and that's just because we do know that obesity is a risk factor for breast cancer, just because our fat cells do make more estrogen, so then you are making more estrogen in your body. And then the last fact that you could do is to limit your alcohol use to 1 to 2 drinks per week, because we do know that alcohol does promote estrogen production in the body.
So just to go back a little bit, you said that breast cancer assessment risk should come in their 20s or in someone's 20s. I'm the dad of a teenage daughter, and we're making the transition now. I think I don't know if her medical records are still available, because she's now over 18 years of age. And I'm just wondering if there's any certain messaging that parents could have for their daughters about making sure that when they get things done and assessed, and some guidelines that are easy to follow, kind of. You give a kid too many instructions and they forget most of them. So I'm wondering if there's like a simple message that maybe even you have for girls that maybe are just a little bit young for the breast cancer risk assessment that you're talking about, but it's something that they need to still keep in mind.
So any woman can always do a breast exam on themselves just to get used to their breast tissue, what's normal for them. Usually recommend to do that about once a month, and to kind of do it every time. So meaning to kind of do it always right before your menstrual cycle, or right when you're done and completed, and to do it in the shower. That's usually the best time to do it. So that is one thing that any woman can do, including, like you said, if you're less than age 25. So not old enough necessarily to have a breast cancer risk assessment, but you can definitely do your own self-exam.
And are there things that you're looking at on the horizon, or that are coming up in regards to either prevention or on the other treatment and making sure that people can get back to 100 after receiving a diagnosis?
So right now, I would say for prevention, we are looking into other imaging modalities to see if there's something besides, for example, doing a breast MRI as part of the high-risk protocols that we have. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's something called molecular breast imaging or contrast enhanced mammography. Those things are early stage, so we'll see with various studies if those come to fruition, but that's the main thing for patients high risk for breast cancer and studies looking at those other imaging modalities. As far as breast cancer itself, there are always a lot of clinical trials looking to see for various breast cancer types, other types of chemotherapy to help prolong the survival of patients who have certain types of breast cancer that need chemotherapy. The other thing is that overall, whether it's for breast surgery for cancer patients, radiation, and chemotherapy, we're all trying to de-escalate. So there's a lot of trials coming out that we might not have to do lymph node surgery for some breast cancer types. We might not have to do radiation for some breast cancer types. So overall, just trying to pull back on a lot of the treatment, because while we do want to treat the breast cancer adequately, we also don't want to cause a lot of side effects or long-term morbidity from any treatment that we recommend.
And I'm guessing years ago the thinking was, look, let's go radical and make sure we get everything. And now there's thankfully more of a, I don't know, a surgical type of thinking about it. And that's great. Talking with Dr. Kristen Krupa today from St. Mary Complete Breast Care. And is that safe to say that because, I don't know, the results are better, or you guys know more, you can preserve more healthy tissue while going after a tissue that needs to be removed?
So in the past, we would, so to say, maybe like 30, 40, 50 years ago, any woman who had breast cancer, the whole breast had to be removed.
Right.
All their lymph nodes had to be removed. Mm. They likely got chemotherapy, radiation. But then we saw that not everybody needs that. So then we really did a lot of clinical trials to piece out, okay, who can we not do a mastectomy for, instead do a lumpectomy, where we just take out the piece of the breast with the cancer in it. So we are doing a lot more lumpectomies than we did before. Or again, for chemotherapy, not everybody needs chemotherapy. And chemotherapy, while it can get rid of cancer and improve survival, it can, of course, be toxic and cause other side effects. So we really only want to give patients those treatments if they really need them. And so that's why it's nice to see that with these different clinical trials, that if we're seeing there's no difference for certain patient groups in having a certain treatment or not, then that's when we're able to pull back and still have the same outcome.
Again, Dr. Kristen Krupa with us on Upwards today. Thanks so much for sharing a little time with us. And at St. Mary Complete Breast Care, you can find out more also at Trinity Health MA about Dr. Krupa, about breast cancer risk assessment, and making sure that you're on time. Thank you so much for helping to raise a little bit of awareness today and walking us through this topic. Hopefully we'll check in with you in a little bit or sometime down the road with more of our updates on WBCB. Really appreciate hanging out for a bit, Dr. Krupa.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have Dr. Krupa joining us on Upwards, and thought it was very interesting, her recommendation that women receive this breast cancer risk assessment at 25, so they just know kind of what to expect and how to approach things. All right, we're going to be joined by Mike Bannon here in just a moment. Got to step aside briefly. We'll return with the Director of Consumer Protection for Bucks County in just a moment on Upwards.
WBCB is now on your FM dial at 107.3, serving Bucks, Burlington, and Mercer counties since 1957. You can now listen to all your WBCB favorites crystal clear on 107.3 FM, a new age for WBCB on a new frequency, 107.3.
In your journey back to work, we understand the barriers you may face. we have a solution to bridge that gap. No matter your background, PA CareerLink staff are here to provide personalized assistance and help you thrive. Take the first step towards a new chapter in your career journey with PA CareerLink. Visit pacareerlink.pa.gov or your local PA CareerLink office today. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Oh, I gotcha! Uh-huh! You thought you got away from me, didn't you? You thought I didn't see you now, didn't you?
Not going to sneak anything by this guy. It's Mike Bannon joining us on Upwards, the Director of Consumer Protection for Bucks County. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing terrific. Happy Thursday to you and the listeners.
Yes, indeed. And I saw on the Bucks County website a great resource, BucksCounty.gov, and if you do the /to get to the consumer protection stuff, you have some information right now out there about skimming devices, some helpful tips for consumers to avoid getting skimmed. Tell us, what is a skimming device? It kind of an adaptation to like where you slide your credit card and stuff, right?
That's correct. So these scam artists are using credit card readers, just like when we do our magnetic strip swipe or our chip, they do that. They put a device that's under their control over an existing device, and they steal your credit card information, maybe PIN numbers and other things that you have is what the scam is about. They're trying to steal your credit card information.
All right, so how can you tell if it's a skimming device, if it's legit? I guess you're looking for any little thing that looks off or weird. I know some of them actually do have some seals, which can be helpful.
Yeah, the seals can be good, but that's a tough thing to answer because it's ever evolved. There's a couple of scenarios that I'll explain, but these devices sometimes are very, very hard to spot for the average person. But you can try to. If you're at a gas pump, look at where the card gets sucked in to where you run the card reader. Just kind of feel that device and shake it around a little bit if it's loose, because the scam artist would have to put something over that device. So you want to look for it to be a little unusual is one thing you could do. When you go into a convenience store, sometimes these card readers have been known to be right where you pay, right at the front counter, and swipe your card at a convenience store in front of the cashier. That's a different kind of skimmer device. They put it over the card skimmer again, but they also look for your PIN number on there. So there's a couple of different ones. And then the worst of all to me is the skimmer device that goes inside the gas pump. Scam artists have been able to open up gas pumps, pick the lock, it's not very secure, unfortunately, and put the skimmer device inside the gas pump.
Wow.
And there's no way the average consumer could see that. Now, when our weights and measures guys go out, we're trained to do these inspections and find. So we'd look inside the gas pump for these skimmers. We'd look on the outside. But really, the inside skimmers are the scary ones, and that's where weights and measures comes into play to stop those.
Are there scenarios where this is being perpetrated by bad gas stations and shady convenience stores, or is this pretty much always an outside scammer coming in? I would think maybe there's a little bit of being in cahoots a little bit in some situations.
Yeah, it could be. I think most of the time, the business is being duped. However, there are times where one of the employees may be behind it, and that's always scary when that happens.
Yeah.
But we've seen that too. Most of the time, I think it's organized rings, that go around. They like to be, again, off of highways. And so 95 is a good place for these things to be set up on Highway 95. They look for places that they can get easy access in and out, scam artists do, easy access in and out to put the skimmer device in, and then they come back or whatever they do. So that's really the key. They're looking for quick getaway and access. So those are the ones that we worry about. I also, gas stations that are not well maintained, or maybe not so good, sometimes they're not maintaining their pumps and looking for these skimmer devices. What we want good gas station owners to do is to inspect at least once, twice a day for skimmer devices. And some do that on a regular basis. Some do not. So if a gas station is looks kind of shady, you know, that might be where it would show up.
Well, all right, if the credit card or your card has been compromised, what do you do? I was mentioning earlier in the show that you recommend like a credit freeze. And for people don't use their cards a lot, that seems like a really good way to make sure that your identity isn't getting compromised in these situations, which seem innocent and like an everyday transaction. But through that everyday transaction, you could run into a little trouble.
You are right, and I do recommend a credit freeze. And just to be clear, it doesn't affect any existing credit cards that you have. They all stay the same. The only downside is if you're applying for a new credit card, your credit is locked down. You have to call and say, I'm going to be getting a new credit card, and then they would lift it, and then you could get your new credit card. So it doesn't stop. It doesn't hurt your existing cards at all. It doesn't change anything. Just stop scam artists from using your social security number to open up new credit cards or maybe buy a car or do something nefarious with it. That's what that does.
Should you report this to local law enforcement? Kind of what steps should people take if they feel like their card has been compromised and they want to make sure that, I obviously got to report it to the bank, make sure that their accounts are safe and that type of thing, but taking it to the next level to report it to some type of law enforcement agency seems certainly right. Warranted.
Absolutely. So I would agree. First thing you're going to do is get to your bank because your card is compromised. You want your bank to cancel that card and issue you a new one. That's like absolutely the first thing that you do. Then after that, you can certainly make a non-emergency police report so they can go out and take a look. You can call us at Consumer Protection. We get calls on a regular basis from credit cards like Visa and MasterCard that tell us that they think that there may be a skimmer at a certain gas station, let's say, and we dispatch people to go look at it because the credit card companies are losing money too.
Wow.
So what we want is for people, if they think they've been skimmed, they can call us and we'll certainly help walk them through it. But they do want to make a police report or somebody aware so other victims don't use that same gas pump. I want to get that skimmer out of that gas pump is what I'm thinking.
All right. Are you safer if you use a chip or a tap transaction than if you have an old school swipe of a card? Are the devices sometimes limited to what they can read, or can they pick up all that info?
Well, definitely, and I know this is hard to say, but the tapping is the better way to go nowadays. It creates a different transaction and numbers that skimmer or scam artists can't read on there. So when you put your card, when you slide it the magnetic strip in there, it's more accessible to them. It's easier for scam artists to get it. Or you put the card into their reader, and then it reads the chip. So my preference now that I know and I understand is to tap. That's on there. What I don't want to do, and I almost never do, is use my PIN number. The PIN number, I only use it to take cash out of a cash machine at my bank because that's where trouble gets. If they get your PIN number, they can get into your bank account and take money out of your bank account. And that's a whole different thing than charging money on your credit card. It's much more devastating. So I really say don't use the PIN if you can. Use the credit portion. If you have a debit card, it's better to say if it asks for your PIN or credit, use the credit portion.
Oh, man, that's a lot of transactions do ask for or give you an option to put the PIN number in. And I'm going to say no. I thought, yeah, I'll just put the PIN number. I don't know why I put it in. Seemed like that was what you're supposed to do in order to verify that you are who you are supposed to be. But if that, I'm going to be opting against using my PIN from now on. Thank you.
There you go. I certainly advocate that. That's what I do. I do use my PIN at cash machines, and I typically only try to use the cash machine in my bank. Is what I try to do. But that's typically what I do. I'm very hesitant. I've seen people lose money by using their PIN. We've seen cameras that are hidden that watch when people put in their PIN number, and then they withdraw their cash out of their bank account, again, which is very different than charging something that you can reverse later.
Yeah, yeah, wow. All right, well, Mike, thank you so much for always keeping on top, keeping us on top of all this stuff as the scammers, their tactics are ever-changing and evolving, and sometimes the way that we can pay for things also changing and
yes.
evolving, and both those things kind of intersecting in some major consumer protection-related stuff that appreciate your helping us navigate here on BCB. Hopefully we'll catch up with you. Oh, next week, actually, we are off for Upwards because we have our Trenton Today show. So maybe in a couple of weeks, we will rejoin our consumer protection powwow.
Well, I'm always ready to go, Chris. So you let me know and I'll be ready to go.
Oh, hey, speaking of ready to go, I missed you at Frank Ferry and Casey Tomlinson's event on Saturday. I said, oh, it's the weekend. Mike Bannon must have the day off today. You deserve a day off. Every once in a while.
I wanted to go. We had a little scheduling snafu with that one. I wanted to attend, but I had a scheduling problem. I do make those, and those are very good on that. That's always a good event that's been going on for years. But I'm sorry I missed that one.
A lot of great information there shared by so many county organizations and such, and we lifted up your good work on WBCB with the Denny O. Polka Show. So always appreciate you joining us on WBCB, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great few weeks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Always terrific to have Mike Bannon joining us on Upwards, again, navigating all these consumer protection kind of things. And we're going to step aside, take care of a couple of quick messages here on WBCB, and we'll get back to our discussion, joined by Maureen Solomon, about staying active and staying fit, doing a little exercise. Got to ask Maureen about recovery duration and how long you should rest in between workout sessions to make sure you're taking advantage of all the work that you're putting in. We're coming right back to Upwards on WBCB in just a bit.
Opinions matter, and so do yours. Hi, I'm Joe Fabrizi, inviting you to join me every Monday and Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. for Opinions Matter, right here on 1490 WBCB and 107.3 FM. Join us as we tackle the tough New Jersey politics affecting you. We want to hear from you because your opinions matter.
Are you curious what old antiques, collectibles, or household contents are worth? Listen Friday mornings for What's It Worth with Mike the Appraiser, right here on 1490 WBCB.
Join On the Ice, presented by Independence Blue Cross, each Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m., live from a different Chickies and Pete's near you. Join hosts Paul Jolovitz and former Flyers Bernie Perrant, Brad Marsh, and Keith Primo right here on 1490 AM WBCB and 107.3 FM.
You won't see termites crawling across your floor, but thousands might be devouring the wood in your walls, weakening the structure of your home. For over 50 years, Termite Proofing and Pest Control of the Delaware Valley has been in the exterminating business. If you think you have a pest problem, they're the experts. Call them today at 215-639-5455. That's 215-639-5455 for TPPC. Termite Proofing and Pest Control of the Delaware Valley gives your home or business peace of mind, knowing your pest problem is in their hands. Located at 1560 Bristol Pike in Bensalem, they use only EPA-approved material applied by licensed technicians. Call Termite Proofing and Pest Control of the Delaware Valley at 215-639-5455.
The holidays for me represent another year to celebrate with my family.
I'm thankful for the Prostate Cancer Foundation, for my family, for my doctors.
This holiday season, put talking with your doctor about prostate screening at the top of your list. Want more info? The Prostate Cancer Foundation is a trusted resource and community. Go to bcf.org to learn more today. Remember, it's your life.
I'm Henry Carpenter, certified elder law attorney and host of Senior Legal Strategies right here on WBCB every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. On a recent Senior Legal Strategies, we discussed how elder law has grown over the years. We now bring so many services and supports to our clients, whether planning for care, protecting assets for family, or assisting in a long-term care placement. We have the knowledge and expertise to guide you to the best possible result. I invite you to call us today at 215-493-0727 to schedule a no-cost consultation. And visit us on the web at buckscountyelderlaw.com.
Hi, it's Pete from Chickie and Pete's. Come taste and enjoy some features from our latest seasonal menu. Try our Southern California chicken sandwich, our delicious Southern glazed cutlet with avocado and jalapeno pineapple salsa, and our seafood pasta with our signature crab, mouth-watering shrimp, and penne pasta with our world-famous red or Sicilian sauce. Pair it with a seasonal cocktail like our Very Berry Cherry Martini or our Watermelon Shandy cocktail. Taste and enjoy at Chickie's and Pete's.
All right, let's get physical here on Upwards as we are joined by Maureen Solomon. Maureen, welcome to the show. Always great to have you with us. And a pretty nice day out there to get a little activity, a little exercise, and keep it moving.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty chilly day, according to my residents, although they like it like 100 degrees. So it's a little cold for April, but we're making do and we're getting outside and getting some movement, which is really important.
Yes, indeed. We're in the midst of our spring sports thing on WBCB, doing high school baseball, and I'm helping my brother coach a high school volleyball team. And right now, the volleyball team is in the midst of back-to-back-to-back games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm thinking to myself, how are these guys going to be ready for action after all this volleyball? Then I'm thinking, they're young, they got no problem. But I'm wondering how other people should think about recovery, how important that is when it comes to activity, exercise, taking advantage of the work that you put in also requires a certain amount of carefully considered rest and recovery time.
Yeah, there's no question. Recovery is extremely important to anyone, whether you're a professional athlete or just, you know, a gym aficionado, mm-hmm. and everything in between, team athletes, high school athletes, college athletes, we all need appropriate recovery so that we can be the best we want to be or can be in our next endeavor. And it's actually statistically proven that when you're overtrained and there's an absence of recovery, your resting heart rate will increase. And that's one of the key markers for overtraining is poor sleep, maybe even loss of appetite and increased resting heart rate. So those are pretty easy to track metrically, but we do know that when without appropriate recovery, the body just can't keep showing up. It can for a while, but then you'll start to see a decline in performance, and you'll also see an increase in injury coming from those, you know, from that situation. So we want to avoid that.
How about for those of us who just like to get their daily walk in? They do a little hike, a walk each day. And is that something where your body can recover relatively quickly with something like a walk, something that maybe isn't quite as intense? And then you can do it on a regular basis each day. You're getting that cardio benefit, even though maybe you're not getting as much of a strain on your muscles and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, walking is the basic component of human kinesiology, and that, unless you're doing an incredibly long endurance walk, like sometimes you'll see these at this time of year, there's like walking marathons split over 2 days.
Yes.
Like 13 days on Saturday, 13 miles on Saturday and 13 on Sunday.
Yeah, one of our BCB colleagues, they were just posting they're going to, I was like, oh, okay, I didn't even know those events were out there, but it's must be the season.
Yeah, exactly. This is when they usually kick off. Mm-hmm. So something like that would be different. I mean, if you're taking a daily walk of 2 to 3 miles, and it's at a pace that's you know, challenging for you, but you're not feeling completely worn down from it, then that actually would be fine. You don't really need to recover from that because brisk walking is a form of active recovery, so we use that as a way to get the body prepped for the next hard endeavor. So I would say if you're a daily walker and you're not doing anything that's, you know, specifically out of your normal realm of additional mileage or additional interval training or speed, you're fine just doing that every day as long as you don't feel like it's wearing you down. I mean, that's, like I said, the one thing that is a really good indicator that you're overtrained without appropriate recovery is that you feel really unrested, you're not getting good sleep, you just, you know, you start working out and you feel really fatigued. And I can actually remember, even as a college student playing field hockey and lacrosse, we would go to these three-day tournaments where you played like, you know, six mini games a day. And by the third day, even as a 20-year-old in, you know, the peak condition, your body's like, okay, I'm really looking forward to the end of this tournament. So I can understand where your volleyball players feel that way.
Yeah, they're probably getting pretty worn down as they get ready for another match this afternoon. And how about for, like, somebody who's doing heavy resistance training? Because that's another issue that kind of brings this topic to mind for me, a social media thing where on, I don't know, my workout algorithms, I'm feeling a lot of the debate between Mike Mentzer and like the Arnold Schwarzenegger group of workout people. And I think Mike kind of had a very unique way of working out and would basically, you know, train so hard that his body needed more time to recover. And one of his big theories is that people just don't take enough time to recover. I mean, also, I think that his method also requires you to tax your muscle in a way that most people do not do. But I'm wondering if you have any insights on this, or I don't know, any awareness of the Mike Mentzer and recovery kind of theories.
I actually do not know that name, and I'm going to look it up right now when we get done talking. And I do a deep dive very frequently, usually at like 1:30 in the morning when I should be sleeping. I'm doing deep dives on the strength and resistance training on the internet.
Check out this guy. It's really going to be interesting for you because it's fascinating to me. And I don't know, whatever video I pushed or whatever, his feeds come up regularly. And
of course,
lot of it is about a unique training style that he had. And a lot of it is about the recovery times and stuff. So maybe when we get together in a couple weeks, next week we're going to take the week off for a Trenton Today show on WBCB. So no upwards next week, but maybe when we reconvene in a couple of weeks, we'll rejoin this topic because I really want to get your insights on it. Like a lot of what he professes is that people overwork their muscle with these unnecessary sets. And he talks quite a bit about just going to failure on a single set and basically training for like 20 minutes is what these other guys are training 3 hours and they're getting similar.
Well, that's ridiculous. There was a time, you know, in the early 2000s where I would, and I make this joke frequently in my classes at Lifetime, where, you know, it's like buys and tries, 2 hours. Like, you don't need 2 hours to work buys and tries. But that was kind of the mentality in the early 2000s. And I can tell you now that, you know, my 55-minute class at Lifetime on Saturdays, which is well-attended, we probably jam in 2 hours worth of work in that class because it's extremely efficient. You're moving from set to set with high rapidity. It's heavy lifting without, you know, a ridiculous amount of repetition.
Right.
But, you know, the end game is you want to load your muscles and it should feel like work. If you're going to go to the gym and lift 5-pound dumbbells for 300 reps, you're wasting your time. So load it up, keep it safe. You shouldn't feel like you're in pain or in jeopardy when you're doing your sets, but keep it heavy-ish. And you should need a day of recovery because the physiology of what happens when we lift weights is that there are micro tears that happen in the muscle from the load. And you want to give your body the adequate amount of time to let those micro tears, heal and then repair, so that now you've got the basis for more strength and mass the next time you lift. So you don't want to be lifting heavy every day unless it's really like oppositional body parts. Like, never ever do heavy legs 2 days in a row. I've pared down my routine. I work really hard 3 days a week, and I work light-ish 3 days a week, and I've pared it down pretty good. But I will tell you that, I see people doing, in the squat racks, in the area that my son refers to as the clanging and banging area of the gym, which is a lot of heavy weights being thrown around. Yeah. And, I know those guys are not doing that 2 days in a row, because I see this, I see the same people doing that type of lifting. So we have to respect the process of healing that occurs physiologically, and give your body the chance to show up and perform with all of your ducks in a row, so to speak, so that you don't get injured. It's getting injured. A lifting injury is pretty serious. You don't want to get into that at all.
I mean, the other thing that you said just makes common sense is to just feel, how are you doing on that day? Are you feeling more tired and exhausted? And listen to your body and kind of use that as a gauge for recovery. And then again, they also, you talk about, you got to push through some of those things. And so maybe you need to let one part of your body rest and recover, but you can still do some work challenge yourself in different ways.
And if you get to the gym and it's your leg day and your legs are just not having it, then you can work on core, and you can do some cardiovascular work, and you can do some stretching and some flexibility. So don't ever, walk through the doors, do one set, and be like, no, I'm out because my legs are not feeling this. You showed up. It's the art of showing up. When you show up, something can and will and should happen because you walk through the doors. It's like that two-minute rule. You already put in the effort to get there and up on the lifting floor. So let's be creative and find something that you can do, that will help your overall conditioning and not feel like it's detracting from the injured or recovering body part.
Right. We always appreciate your showing up and being present with us here on Upwards, and giving us some great fitness inspiration and a little motivation to stay moving and active. It's so important, big a part of our ability to feel healthy and engage in life is the ability to stay active, and you got to stay with it in order to keep your body moving in the right way.
Yeah, and you have to, all of that will help us to be more vibrant in any capacity. So whether you're a more present parent with younger children or a more present grandparent who can engage a little bit more with grandchildren, whether it's taking a walk or pushing your grandkids on the swing.
Yeah, playing wiffle ball, whatever, right?
Exactly, playing wiffle ball. All of these things require baseline conditioning, and we want to make sure that we're giving our body the necessary movement that we need every day, because you know why, Chris?
Movement is medicine.
Movement is medicine. Get some every day.
All right, thanks, Maureen. We'll check in with you in a couple of weeks.
All right, Chris, have a great one.
Maureen Solomon, our fitness expert on Upwards. Always great to get her insights and, to get a little bit of a kick in the rear to keep moving and stay active. As she says, and I try to keep this in mind, it's difficult, but it's a non-negotiable. You got to get it done, and every day find some way to stay active. All right, we're going to step aside and return to wrap this thing up. We got the afternoon show coming up with Stephen Lawler from 2 to 4. At 4 o'clock, it's the best of Blavitt, a little Geeter Gold radio on BCB. Jonesy with us from 5 to 6 with a great mix of music. We've got the Phillies and the Braves later tonight here on your spot on the radio dial for Phillies baseball. Phillies looking for another series win if they can get the W tonight, and a triple header of high school baseball video streamed live on YouTube at WBCB Sports, including Steinert visiting Ewing. We've got Allentown at Lawrence and Hopewell taking on Notre Dame, and they will be there at the home of the Irish for that one. The Steinert game starts at 3:45, and the other two games with a 4 o'clock first pitch scheduled. All right, going to step aside and return here to wrap it up here on WBCB.
Head out to Chickies and Pete's every Monday night for the Independence Blue Cross Bull Session right here on 1490 WBCB and 107.3 FM.
Album Sides is back on BCB. Join us weekday mornings at 11 for Album Sides. We've got great music. Gonna spin some of the best albums of all time. It's Album Sides with yours truly, the philosopher Chris Ermer. Weekday mornings at 11 right here on 107.3 FM and 1490 WBCB. You can also listen live at WBCB1490.com.
Hi, this is Mayor Jeff Martin of Hamilton Township, inviting you to tune in to our monthly radio show, This Month in Hamilton. Video stream live the fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. at WBCB1490.com. We will be featuring various guests from Hamilton Township to keep you up to date on what's going on in Hamilton.
Are you a parrot head?
Wasted away again in Margarita.
Not that kind.
Oidana, my love to Papuga.
That's more like it. If you're this kind of parrot head, don't forget to check out the Denny O Polka Show every Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon right here on 1490 WBCB and online at WBCB1490.com.
We gathered real Pennsylvania seniors and asked them how they would benefit from an extra $1,000. Here's what they had to say.
Everything is so expensive these days.
Car expenses, repairs.
My groceries, heating costs.
Medications. I'm sure I could easily spend $1,000 like that.
Through Pennsylvania's property tax rent rebate program, eligible seniors and adults with disabilities could receive up to $1,000. Check your eligibility and apply online.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Well, big thanks to all of our guests for Upwards today. Dr. Kristen Krupa, some great straightforward information about staying on top of your breast cancer risk. Also, had Mike Bannon checking in with us. Always great to have the Director of Consumer Protection for Bucks County as part of the show, keeping us on top of scams, and in this case, skims. Look out for the skimming devices that are out there. And don't use your PIN number. I didn't realize I was revealing potentially sensitive information. I guess it makes sense, right? That PIN number is what I use to access stuff. So if people can get the number, maybe they can access my stuff. So no bueno. Look out for the skimmers in ATMs and convenience stores and all that stuff. And always great to hear from Maureen Solomon to keep us moving, active, but to make sure we factor in rest and recovery and listening to our bodies about how we're feeling after maybe putting in a little bit of work. And I'm hoping for the best for our new Foundations volleyball team. Had a tough game yesterday. I was not able to be at some of the games. Sometimes I get to practice, sometimes not. Sometimes I'm at the game, sometimes not. I'm kind of hit or miss as far as an assistant coach is concerned with some of our other WBCB assignments, but you can catch a lot of high school sports stuff through the Huddle network of cameras. The schools will put a camera in a gym, and the camera can follow the ball, can track different players and their numbers. And so I was looking at, it really wasn't a great image, but was able to see how things were transpiring, and ended up being like a 5-set match, but the opponent got the win in set number 5. So I don't know. Last year we had such a great year, and it was my first time helping with the team, but they didn't lose a game. I mean, they didn't even lose a set. Had some great players, and then a lot of the talent graduated, and as they, I don't know, I was expecting to just pick up kind of right where we left off, but this year they're having to fight for every little bit of success that they're getting. So keep on fighting, Bulldogs, as they get back to action today. And we got a lot of high school baseball coming up on BCB. Same thing with those guys, too. They put in the work, and they got to make sure to take advantage of the rest and recovery, spread those games out. It's something that coaches have to, I mean, really factor into how much work they're giving their guys or their gals, as the situation maybe. All right, news is coming up next, and then Stephen Lawler with the afternoon show here on BCB. Stay with us.
Join On the Ice, presented by Independence Blue Cross, each Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m., live from a different Chickies and Pete's near you. Join hosts Paul Jolovitz and former Flyers Bernie Perrant, Brad Marsh, and Keith Primo right here on 1490 AM WBCB and 107.3 FM. You're listening to 1490 WBCB and on your FM dial at 107.3 W297 CL Levittown.
AP News.